Hebrews 11, verses 11 and 12. Let me just start there this morning. By faith, even Sarah, who was past childbearing age, so watch out, all you women who are past childbearing age. By faith, even Sarah, who was past childbearing age, she considered him faithful who had made the promise. And so, from this one man, he as good as dead, came descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as countless as the sand on the seashore. As countless as the sand on the seashore. I just want to say happy Mother's Day to all the moms. Happy Mother's Day. And this day is a celebration of life. It's a celebration of who we are as women. And it's a celebration of the word woman and the word mother, especially in this day and age where society is trying to change the law that woman, the word woman is offensive, that the word mother is offensive. So I declare over to you today that you are women and that you are mother. That your mother today, as God ordained it, that is who we are as women. You know, mothers don't get a lot of recognition. Those of you that have had children or spiritual children, you know the joys and the trials that come with being moms, the exhaustion, that you're the nurse, you're the cook, you're the bottle washer, you're the comforter, the nurturer, the discipliner, you're the cleaner, you're the shopping person, you kind of do all these, the taxi service, you're doing all these different activities as a mom. And quite often we don't get the value and we don't get the recognition that we should have as moms in society today. It has been like sort of devalued a little bit. Well, she's just a working, you know, a home mom. She's just a home mom. And so we just want to honor the moms today. So, and yet we know like the rewards of motherhood are immense, aren't they? You know, they really are. Whether it's a physical child or a spiritual child, the rewards of that are absolutely immense in our lives, the joys that come from that. So today I want to speak to you about who are mothers? What is the worldview of mothers? And what is the Hebraic biblical view of mothers? And what does God say about moms? What does he say about mothers? So firstly, mother is a title. It's a title, and it's a title to all of womanhood. Being a mother is not dependent on whether or not you have natural children. Mother is a title that's given to you from birth, being a woman. You're called mother. Eve was called mother before she became a mother. She was called the mother of all living before she gave birth. So mother is a title that you have because you are woman, because you are womankind. So how do we mother? How do we do this job? Well, Sarah in Hebrews, we saw that Sarah actually gained motherhood through believing a promise that was given. So she didn't go by what she saw, she went by what was spoken to her. And she believed that promise and she held on to that promise, and therefore she gave birth to a son. Hebrews 6, it says, he rewards those who seek him earnestly. Seek him earnestly. So I want to challenge you today to expect to receive promises as mothers, for those that you care for spiritually and natural born, to expect to receive promises for them. Ask the Lord, what are the promises you're speaking over my children? What are the promises that you have for them? Show me where you're taking them, so that as a mother, spiritually or naturally, I can call in that destiny over my child, the promises that you have spoken over them, Lord, that I can call those promises to fulfillment on their behalf as the authority that you've given me as mother, as that title as mother, that I can call in and prophesy those promises and I can believe then that there's going to be a reward for me in that pressing in for those that you've given me responsibility for, that my reward will be seeing those promises fulfilled in their lives. Yeah, there's things that we have contended for, that I've contended for my children, that I have reaped the rewards of as I have watched them walk into their promises. You know, it's like the joy, you know where Jesus said the joy set before him, he endured. And I think as moms, the joy set before us, we endure. We endure the disappointments. We endure the trials. We endure the tears. Why? Because God has given promises that we prophesy life into so that our children get to walk in their destiny, and that we then get the reward of that by seeing and watching and observing in the natural realm that which was spoken from the spiritual realm into the natural. So we get the honor as mother of calling in that which has been promised from the unseen realm into the seen realm. And then our reward is watching that promise being activated, worked out and fulfilled in the lives of our natural and spiritual children. I just think that excites me. Oh my gosh. It's like we get to partake, you know, of something really, really special. So we got to believe there's a reward at the end, don't we? We got to believe. And this says he rewards those who earnestly seek him. This word earnestly actually means to contend fiercely for, to contend fiercely for, you know. And there's things that have happened in our family that we have really had to contend fiercely for as parents. As a mother, I've had to contend fiercely. And there's things I'm still contending fiercely for, believing the promises that were spoken way back. And I'm calling those promises into this now realm, this now season. And it's impossible for us, the Bible says, to please God without faith. If we don't believe in him, it doesn't please him, you know. It says that it is impossible to please him without believing in him. So part of our mandate as mothers is to ask him, God, what are you saying over my children? Tell me, what are you saying over my kids so that I can prophesy destiny and see the reward of that worked out in their life? We got to press in to go to higher levels with God, moms. We got to press in for higher levels where we get to see things and hear things from the Lord concerning our children. Because when our kids leave home, it's just the beginning of a whole different journey, a whole different way of listening, a whole different way of prophesying the promises. So let's look at some moms. So number one was Sarah, Hebrews 11 to 12. She was the mother who waited. She waited and she waited and she waited and she waited. I think Abraham was like 100 years old when he fathered Isaac. Can you believe it? Can you believe like your husband getting to 100 years old and then saying, oh, I think it's time for us to have a baby. Can you believe, like, yep, let's do it, love. It's time for us to have a baby. And I'd be like, I don't think so. But when you have the promise of God, when you have the promise that's been spoken, Sarah was just waiting. She was waiting for that moment when that promise would be fulfilled for her. So she was faithful to God in the promise. She had eyes to see the promise, and her reward for believing was Isaac. Her reward for believing beyond the natural realm was Isaac. She believed for what God had promised. And actually, when you think about Sarah, her reward is still going on today. You know, it said that his generations will be as numerous as the stars. You know, and now that we are grafted into that, into Abraham, you know, into that promise that God has given, we are now part of her reward. We're part of her reward in that we are the spiritual children that are grafted in. So we're actually part of Sarah's reward, part of what was promised all those years, hundreds of years back, that was promised to her. We're actually part of that, those stars as numerous as the sky. Come on, isn't that exciting? So Hebrews 11:1 says that we need to have confidence in what we don't see. So faith is having confidence in what we don't see. So it means that no matter what it looks like in the natural realm, our confidence has to be somewhere else when we can't see fulfillment. So our confidence has to be in what has been spoken, what has been declared, what is written. So what are the promises that God has given you from the word? What are the promises that he has spoken to you prophetically through others or spoken to you through the Spirit? What are those things that we have to have confidence in, what we see in the Spirit, what we know in the Spirit, those promises that God is calling us to partner with? That is what faith is. And then he says, he who has ears, let him hear. So the thing is that he's speaking all the time. God is never not speaking, but it's our job to have ears to hear and then to partner with what he's saying. So that's why it's so important for us to like ascend those levels, recognize that we're seated in heavenly places, and take time in the Spirit with the Lord to hear the promises of God so that they can be activated and called in from the unseen realm to the seen realm to be activated here in the natural. So we need to listen to what the Spirit is saying to the church, not the media, not the doubter, not the negative. I mean, who knows people that are saying, that'll never happen, you know, I can't see that happening, and that's not going to be, you're never going to do that, and well, who do you think you are, you know, you're just Joe Bloggs from whatever. Remember Gideon, when the angel came, he says, hey, you, mighty warrior, mighty warrior, and Gideon was like, sorry, are you talking to somebody else, Lord, or, you know, who are you talking to, because actually, my tribe's like the smallest, and I'm the least of all of those. I'm like the grasshopper at the bottom. And this angel was like, hey, mighty warrior, come on. And today God is saying to you, mother, woman, mighty warrior, that is who you are. You know, don't believe the doubters. Don't believe the negative. Don't believe those that have spoken devaluation or disempowerment over you. Believe what God speaks about you. Take the promises that he says, that he is your yes and amen, that you're the head and not the tail, that you have strength beyond what you need. He says, strengthen those weak hands and weak knees, that you are mighty to the pulling down of strongholds, that you have wisdom and revelation through the Spirit of God. You are the first, not the last. You are the chief, not the base. You are perfect in power and perfect to him. So those who listen receive the promise. I'm listening. I got both ears tuned at the moment. I'm listening. So the second mom I want to look at is Elizabeth, the mother of John the Baptist. Can you imagine raising John the Baptist? Dear Lord. Dear Lord. I mean, this guy ran around in what, camel hair and ate locusts and stuff. You know, he was a bit weird. Let's face it, he was like one of those kind of out there prophets that, you know, that gave prophets a bad name. He was like one of those. He was hairy and he was loud. He was rude. And he was like, in man's eyes, really rebellious, really rebellious. Could you imagine mothering that child? Can you imagine, you know? I just think, poor Elizabeth. But she was the mother that believed in miracles. Again, she was barren, and she was the wife of a priest called Zachariah, who in those days, like if you didn't have a child, it was almost considered that you were sinful, that there was a sin in your life that stopped you, that stopped God's blessing, especially if you were the wife of a priest, you know? So Elizabeth was this woman that believed in miracles. They were both old in age. They were childless. And yet then Zechariah had this vision and he doubted God. He's like, really? Really? But Elizabeth was like, come on, bring it on, bring it on. Just like Sarah. She's like, yoo-hoo, I'm ready. I'm ready. I've been waiting all my life for this moment to have this child. And so she was the mother that believed in miracles. Sarah was the one that waited, and Elizabeth pressed in for the miracle. And also, yeah, John was her reward. John was her reward. And yet, when you think of all his wildness, and I'm sure she tried to tame that child, you know, but I think she just knew this kid was going to be a wild one because he needed to be. He needed to be. And she had the wisdom to steward him well. And when you look at John the Baptist, he was the one that actually opened the doorway in the atmosphere for Christ to take his platform. He was the one that broke open a whole new doorway in that system of Jewish tradition for Jesus to take his platform. Like, what a guy! What a guy! Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. What a statement to make, as a man in the wilderness, this crazy prophet to Pharisees and Sadducees, the Sanhedrin. Behold the Lamb of God, what takes away the sin of the world. So Elizabeth had her reward when John grew, and the lives that were transformed through his preaching and his baptism, making the way for Jesus. What a reward that was for her. And the last one I want to look at today is, of course, Mary, blessed of all women. Blessed of all women. Like, again, can you imagine? She was the other end of the scale. Mary was like this teenager, a teenage girl that this archangel came to and said, "Hey girl, you're gonna have a baby. And I know you're not married yet, but it's okay because you're gonna give birth to the Son of God." Could you imagine? Like, today the people would be like, "What's she tripping on?" You know, like, what is that child on, seriously? And yet here's Mary, this teenager, it says, "Wow, according to your word, let it be unto me." She immediately stepped into that place of promise and taking hold of that promise. And so for me, that just shows the relationship that she already had with God, that she had already walked in an intimate place with the Lord, where he could come and send the angelic to her in a physical form to speak to her, and that she received it. She just, her spirit was like, "I'm willing and ready to carry this for you." So she believed the word, and she received that word by faith. For her, I think carrying this promise was one of the hardest journeys of any mother that any mother has ever had to do. You know, she endured such pain and sacrifice, I think, of all times as a mom. She watched her son being rejected, being beaten, being tortured, being mocked, being ridiculed, being betrayed. And her heart, I can only imagine her heart. I know how I feel if someone hurts one of my natural children or one of my spiritual children. My heart aches. You know, this fierce lioness mother rises up wanting to go and rip them apart, honestly. So I can only imagine how Mary, I can't imagine how Mary struggled carrying this, knowing what was coming. Yet she received the reward for her faith because Jesus didn't die. He rose again. He rose again. And I can you just imagine when he came to her and said, "Hey, mom, I'm here, and nobody's ever going to take my life again. And not only that, but I have assured your eternity. I have assured your eternity for all time. And I have assured the eternity of all those who listen to me and all those who will carry the promise and believe for the things that I have spoken to them and over them." She carried eternity within her, and he in turn gave her eternity back. It was a powerful, powerful, powerful relationship. So, what promises have we had from the Lord? What promises have you had? What has God spoken to you about people that you carry responsibility for? This is for the dads as well this morning. Like all of us are responsible for someone. All of us are responsible for someone. All of us are called to carry the promises for others, to prophesy into the lives of others, to prophesy the gold into others, to call them higher, to call them higher. What prophetic words have been spoken over your children, natural and spiritual? What prophetic words have you got for your kids that you're calling out, that you're praying into, that you're declaring and decreeing over your children? Are you believing them? Are you pressing in for the reward of them? In other words, the fulfillment of those promises? Are you pressing in for those things? Are you declaring and decreeing those promises over your children? Romans 4:16 says, the promise comes by faith. The promise comes by faith. We cannot afford, guys, to go by what we see in the natural. We have to go by what is spoken, by what is declared in the heavenlies, because that is the only true thing that we can follow, because it's the only assured thing that is concerning our kids, concerning spiritual kids, concerning those that we carry responsibility for. You know, like for all of you, like I asked the Lord, what do you want me to prophesy over them, Lord? What do you want me to decree over Peter and Hazel? What do you want me to decree over Andrew and Mary? What do you want me to decree over Dory? What do you want me to decree over Victoria? What do you want me to decree, God, over each one here? What are the promises you have given me for them? Because when I decree those promises and I press in, there's a reward for me at the end of those. When I see you grow, when I see you begin to achieve more and more, when I see you begin to ascend into that higher level of intimacy, into that higher level of connection and communication with God, that is my reward. It's my reward. That's what I get blessed with when I carry you in that way before the Lord. So it's a powerful, powerful, powerful thing. We are called to war as mother. As mother, we are called to war for that which has been promised. So, who are the mothers? Let's look at the worldview, the Hebraic biblical view. This blew my mind when I was looking at this. I had Roz's book out and I was like going through that as well. And I've been like blown away. So the Oxford Dictionary definition of mother is female parent, woman of spiritual authority, which shocked me. In the Oxford Dictionary, a woman of spiritual authority. And one who chooses to undertake responsibilities for others. That was the definition in the Oxford Dictionary. So you, as a female parent, a woman of spiritual authority, and one who chooses to undertake responsibilities for others. Now let's look at the Hebrew. Let's look at the biblical Hebrew meaning for mother. Firstly, the Hebrew for mother is Am or M. It's made up of two letters. It's 25 times used in a base state as M, which is E-M, and 175 times in variations in A-M, Am, such as their mother, our mother, his mother, her mother, etc. Another mother. So the pictorial translation of Am means a state of being. So mother, as in woman, mother, like Eve, mother of all living, prior to her being a mother. Mother is a state of being. It's something that you are because you are woman. You are mother also. The first letter of that is Aleph. Roz and Mary can shout at me if I'm doing it wrong, but hey, I'm going to go. The first letter is Aleph. And that first, it's the first letter of the Hebrew alphabet, and it means chief, strong leader, strength, first, God the Father, protector, and guardian. Let me just repeat that, what that first letter of being mother, being woman, is. You know, for all you women who feel devalued, For all you women who have been disempowered, for all you women who have come out of narcissistic relationships, etc., etc., this is the first part of who you are. You are a chief. You are strong leader. You are strength. You are first. You are from, you give life the same way. Oh, let me do that. It says God the Father, protector and guardian, right? God the Father, Jesus, was the first to create life, okay? When you were named mother, you took on that ability from God. Eve became the first creator outside of God creating male and female. Eve became the first one to carry that creative ability, that creative power to create life. Isn't that awesome? So like right up to that point, God made the heavens, the earth, the sky, the air, the animals, the bugs. Then he created male and female. Then he handed that creative power, that creative part of his nature to woman, who then began to bring forth life. First, she was the first to create. Come on, powerful. You're powerful. It's the literal picture of Aleph is an ox. So you're not a little calf, you're not a cow, you're an ox. You're like a chief, you're like a plow puller, you know, you're like one that is out front, leading, first in line. So this symbol of the ox is a revelation of the power and strength behind the name Mother. Is this encouraging anybody? Andy says yes.
Hallelujah.
The second letter of M is, of course, M, which is Mem in the Hebrew, Mem. And that word Mem means flowing waters, flowing, liquid life-giving flow, divine revelation and knowledge, the ability, listen to this, the ability to chastise in grace resulting in revival. Woo! Come on! Come on! The ability to chastise, to discipline in grace, resulting in revival. Mother, that's what you carry. Come on! It's powerful. Rule and dominion. Rule and dominion. So we are, you are chief, a strong leader, the strength, the first as in Eve. You carry that from God the Father, your protector, you're a guardian. You're like this ox that's plowing up tough ground. And sometimes kids are tough ground, you know. No matter whether they're spiritual or not, they're tough ground. And then out of that, it's like you've got this flowing, life-giving water, this life-giving flow that comes from you to bring revival, to bring restoration, to bring redemption, to carry that rule and dominion that God gave right back to Eve in the garden. That has been restored to us through Christ, women. That has been restored, exactly what she carried right back in that garden, that same authority, that same rule, that same power. We carry that today through the redemptive blood of Jesus Christ. He has redeemed everything, everything right back to the garden and more. We've got the signs, the wonders, this liquid life going flow is powerful. So I've kind of written a little thing out just to put it all together. So mother is a chief. You're a leader. Is the first one to give the life-giving flow of God the Father to an individual, to give life to mankind through divine order and appointment of God. She carries life-giving waters. Like in the womb, a child develops in water that is full of life-giving nutrients. And then post-birth, that life-giving flow continues through the liquid feeding through the breasts of a mother. Mothers walk in divine revelation and discerning knowledge, carrying a grace to chastise with the divine goal of revival and redemption. Mother was the first to bring life on earth after the creation of Adam. and has walked in divine appointment to bring and continue to bring life as a strong leader to guard and to protect that life to the age to come. Mothers are leaders. They are chiefs in the nations, releasing strength and hope. Would you like me to read that again? That is powerful. The mother is a chief, a leader, is the first one to give life-giving flow of God the Father, to give life to mankind through divine order and appointment of God. She carries life-giving waters. In the womb, a baby, it develops in this bubble of water that is full of life-giving nutrients. Post-birth, that life-giving flow continues through the liquid feeding of the breasts of a mother. Mothers walk in divine revelation and discerning knowledge, carrying a grace to chastise with the divine goal of revival and redemption. Mother was the first to bring life on earth after the creation of Adam, and has walked in a divine appointment as a strong leader to guard and protect that life to the age to come. Come on. Mothers are leaders and chiefs in the nations, releasing strength and hope. That's what it is to be woman. That's what it is to be mother. Doesn't matter whether you've given birth naturally, we mother someone. Everyone, you, because you're a woman, you're called to mother. That is who you are. It's a state of being. We're powerful. You are full of authority. You are anointed to do this. You're anointed. You carry it. You inherited it from the Father, from Abba. So for me, it's like, are you believing this? Like, do you believe who you are? Do you believe the promises that God has spoken over you? Do you believe that you've been redeemed for that very purpose of bringing forth life? Come on. Are you pressing in for the reward of the promises that God has spoken to you concerning your children, concerning your spiritual children, concerning those that you carry responsibility for? If you carry responsibility for anyone, you carry it in the role of a mom. You carry it as woman. You carry it as mother. And as mother, you are a leader and a chief. You're strong. And you have the ability to have that continuous life flow coming from you to each one that you have responsibility for. Romans 4:16 says, the promise comes by faith. The promise comes by faith. And faith is something that we war in the heavenlies concerning. We war in the heavenlies concerning. So, the promise comes by faith. I've just told you what woman means, what mother means. Aleph, Mem, strong, chief, leader, life-giving waters, protector, guardian, disciplines unto revival, redemption, restoration. You carry rule and dominion established right back at creation, that has been rebirthed within us as women. That we are lionesses that have a roar that pierces the heavens, that pierces the darkness, that strongholds will be broken over the lives of our children and those that we have authority over, because that's who we are as woman. That's who we are as mother. And no one can take that from us except we can give it up. And today I want to challenge you again to rise up as woman, to rise up as the lioness to the Lion of Judah, and take your place of rule and authority, your place of dominion, your place of strength, to be a leader and a chief amongst women, to be that template, that model for others to follow, to show them that as women, that as mothers, that we have a voice that pierces heaven and pierces earth, that brings life and brings revival and redemption and restoration to our families and our communities. That's who you are. And I challenge you today for that. So Father, I declare today, I declare God, Lord, the strength over women today, God, that there would be a roar that would rise within them, God, a roar from the depths of their soul, Father, as they begin to understand that they are chief, that they are the first of the ones, Lord, that bring life, that bring creative life, God, to mankind. Lord, that they bring life-giving flow. Father, that they walk in divine revelation, divine knowledge, divine authority, that to bring life, to bring direction, to bring protection, to guard and protect. Lord, that they are leaders, that they are chiefs in the nations, releasing strength and hope. Lord, I pray, God, today, for those that are watching, Lord, for those that are barren and have been struggling, God, with barrenness, Father, we declare today, Lord, those wombs to be open in the name of Jesus. Lord, that those wombs would be open in the name of Jesus. God, we call forth from the unseen to the seen realm, God, the promise, Father, of children, God, for the very title of mother, Lord, that you will birth in those wombs, God, children, God. In the name of Jesus, we declare wombs open, wombs to be blessed, to be filled in the name of Jesus, in Jesus' name. Lord, we call in the promises that you've spoken over our children in the natural, in the spiritual. Lord, we decree and we declare and we call out the gold in their lives, Father, those things that you have promised. Lord, those things that you have spoken because they are true. And we say the yes and amen. Amen to your word. And we call those in, Father, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen.